You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey everybody, it is Shiny Unicorn here. I have had quite a few experiences in the sex clubs and swinger clubs in Toronto, Ontario and surrounding area. And I've been in the lifestyle for a few years now. And if anybody watches my channel here, you'll know I like to take the job of the orgy director or orgy coordinator. I even have little outfits with my shirt. You can see a picture on the screen. And I like to show up and help my friends fulfill their fantasies. In my experience as the orgy director, I have seen things go badly. I have had my own scenes not go perfectly. And there's so many things that I've learned along the way. So in my early days, I would just think I could create magic. You just show up at the club with the expectations of a gangbang, multiple men, and you'd be able to get that. I had somebody who had different evening plans. They weren't able to come at the normal time on a DTF night at Oasis Aqua Lounge. And so I said to them, oh, okay, well, we'll just have your like special scene at like 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. It's fine. So they come, it's 8 at night, there's no one there. There's no one to participate. Everybody who is there is like shy and like not gonna just like step right up. And even if somebody did participate, there wouldn't be somebody behind them. So I have had many experiences where I thought, wait, we need men too. We can't just show up for one of these things. We need to have men, which is also what I like to affectionately refer to as supply chain when it comes to group sex like that. As an orgy director, supply chain issues are my forte. So basically I've had situations where there was not enough people to participate. I remember offering help to a girl who I didn't know, and this was one of the first and last times I will ever do that because I didn't know her enough. And she literally got up in the middle of a scene without telling me and like left the room, and I didn't know, is she okay? Is she upset? Whatever. So I remember she came back and she was like, oh yeah, no, I just wasn't feeling it, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, like next time tell me, right? But like, I was like, yeah, I'm not taking a chance on something like that again. That was fucking vulnerable. You just jet out of the room. I have no idea what happened. So that was one of those experiences. I actually had an experience recently that I've been dying to tell people about. It hasn't come out of a story time yet, but I saw a really cool scene. There were these two people, I think that they were female identified, I don't know, but they were like face down on these benches and they had mostly naked, but they had black marker written on their bodies. Things like use me, F me, right? I'm on YouTube, I can't say all the dirty words here. And so they were basically wanting to be used for other people's pleasure. That is a huge fantasy that lots of people have, right? So I remember going into the dungeon and sitting there watching this, and I saw a group of people in the periphery all kind of curious about what these people were up to, but nobody was coming up to play with them. Nobody. They were just laying there, and I was like, I think their feelings are getting hurt. Like they're not getting participation. And so I actually interrupted and I said, excuse me, do you want people to actually come and touch you? And they were like, yeah. Like they said it like, yeah, that's why it's written on me. And I was like, oh no, that's not enough. You need to give express consent. People can't just walk up and touch you because it says touch me on my body at a sex club. You need to have express consent. So then they turned around and they were like, you guys can touch us. And then finally people would start to like, oh, okay. And they'd slowly come and like, you know, take a spot. And then I actually got a little bit of reprimand from one of the Oasis Aqua Flirts because I was interrupting someone else's scene. Technically I was, and I, you know, was right to get reprimanded, but I also like helped them from not ruining their night and their self-esteem. So I think it was kind of worth it. But this is the kind of stuff that can happen. You think you're gonna write, you know, really erotic things on your body, lay there and expect people to just come and take advantage of you like they do in your fantasy, in your head. Meanwhile, they're sitting over there looking like, is that guy gonna do it? Is that guy gonna do it? Am I supposed to? Can I touch it? Like, that's what the reality is like. And so you need, you know, if you are trying to fulfill a fantasy, you have to play the role of consent. You have to build it in. Otherwise people are just, they're setting themselves up for some risk, and that's not always fun. There's not a lot of kink that I know that wants to be in that situation. So I need consent every time. That was something I saw go wrong at a club. I have had many times where I had been helping a woman and we ran out of men. We ran out of hard, solid, you know, men. I'm on YouTube again, right? This is why I have podcasts, by the way. I do have some really uncensored and fun podcasts that are also free. So if you can find me on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you're going to get the uncensored and unfiltered version. I have seen situations where, what do you do when there's no more men to fuck your friend, right? And I know that sometimes there's still men that are like curious, and then I become like, how do I not scare them away? It's like approaching an animal at the zoo being like, don't run, do you want to come and play with my friend? Like, I didn't know how to successfully bridge all these situations. And so what I've learned is you need a pinch hitter if possible. You need a man that is part of your team as an orgy director to be able to say, all right, we need someone to inspire the men. Can you show them what's acceptable, how this is done? Can you encourage them? You know, have somebody who's like one of the guys that actually helps participate in the scene. That's a huge one. Fez, you'll recognize that name from this channel, is one of the best we've seen so far in this lifestyle as a pinch hitter for many of the scenes that I've run. He is always reliable to be able to set a tone, to be able to give the girl, so far they're all women, what they want, and he definitely doesn't have performance anxiety, so he's like a reliable guy to pull like whenever you need him. I have also seen men lose their erections in the middle of a scene, and sometimes it's literally with a couple that I've been with. So I'm a single woman unicorn most of the time, and sometimes when I'm with like married couples, they're like kind of like looking at a condom like it's like a foreign object, like they've never seen before, and so is their dick. So most of the time condoms don't work well on married men who are spoiled without using them, right? And so I've had to give more therapy than threesomes in my experience as a single woman unicorn, because it's rubber meets the road, except rubber meets the dick kind of thing. When reality hits and your fantasy was your fantasy and now you're fumbling with this thing and your dick's not working and what this wasn't what it was supposed to be, right? And so you have to prepare for when things go badly. And to be honest, you know, shit happens. Just roll with it, learn to laugh at yourself in a good way, and just move on and just be human and accept other people's humanness. I don't mean to scare anybody off. I just want you to think carefully about the people, the humans involved in any scene that you're trying to run, and make sure that they feel invited, make sure that they feel safe. And you know, you gotta plan around supply chain is what I've learned. So I am a workflow analyst by day, YouTuber by night. I'm like a Six Sigma like workflow design expert. So I like see something and I'm like, well, this would be more efficient if you did this. So I like to apply that in fantasy fulfillment in my life, in my dating life and everything. And so far I'm getting some good dividends on it, I think. So yeah, workflow analyst takes on gangbangs. Stay tuned for more. RunUnicorn.com has all links, including my diary, including things that you would never find on YouTube. So check it out, and you can see all my other signs.